buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you.
Please stand and join us.
I was breathing, but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Your freedom is all that I know. The old man knew Jesus when I met you. Oh, what a day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is the air that I'm breathing. So I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name,
I ran out of that grave.
Amen. You guys can have a seat. Welcome.
Welcome, Asbury family, guests, members. It's all good today. It's all good. God's giving us a beautiful day to enjoy and lots of things going on. First of all, our Faith Family Dinner this coming Wednesday evening. You'll see the menu there. You don't want to pass that up. And it's a great time for food and fellowship, so I hope you'll make plans to come to that. And we have got, in 2 weeks from today, a very special day, Senior Sunday. And look at these wonderful people that are going off to their future. And we're going to pray them up really well. And so be here in this service, May 20th, 2018, as we recognize Cole, Jared, Jeshreen, Peyton, Drake, and Hunter. Praise be to God and congratulations to them. VBS will be here before you know it, June 10th through the 14th, 6 to 8:30. See Laura or call Laura, email Laura at asbury-lr.org for more details on that and also details on our website. And now it's time to be sure and sign the register and turn around and pass the peace of Christ.
And as the adults make their way back to their seats, we can have the kiddos come on back up here.
Good morning. Okay, I want to ask you guys something. Do you know what this is? Nope, not the Bible. A picture book, a photo album. Okay, yeah, so when I was in high school, I went on a trip and to the Czech Republic, which is really, really far away. And so these are pictures from my trip. And so I can look back at it later and remember what I did and all the fun things that I did. So why do you think people keep photo albums or scrapbooks? That's right, to remember what they did when they were younger. So what other things can we do to remember special things? Caleb?
Just remember it.
Just remember it, okay.
Take pictures of it on your phone.
Take pictures on your phone, yes, you can do it. So Jesus told us to do something to help us remember him. So we're going to read out of Matthew 26. Does anybody want to read, or do you want me to read it? You want to read it, Tyler? Okay. Start right here, and then we're going to go all the way to 29, which ends right there, okay?
Where do I start? Right here. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, eat it, this is my body." Then he took a cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out of for many of the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day. I will drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom."
Okay, good job. So what did Jesus want us to do? Anybody remember? He wanted us to remember him, right?
Yes.
And why do you think Jesus wanted to do those things? Communion and what?
Maybe by praying.
He wanted us to pray, okay. So he wanted us to remember him when we do communion, because today is communion day, right? So Jesus wanted us to remember the sacrifice that he made. And he doesn't ever want us to forget how much God loves us. That's why we share the Lord's Supper, communion, to remind us of God's love and sacrifice. So let's thank God right now, okay? Can we bow our heads to pray? God, thank you so much for sending Jesus to die for our sins. Help us to remember Jesus' sacrifice and your love when we share the Lord's Supper. We don't ever want to forget the price you paid so that we could live with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Savior knelt to
sing your name. Your name, your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King.
As always, we as a church family look to those whom we know that need our prayers and have asked for our prayers. So I hope that you will find a moment to look over the list of those who are requesting prayer and are encouraged by your prayers. Let us go to God. Most loving Father, on this day in which we have come to worship you, We give you thanks for so many things. We are so blessed beyond measure, and you are so good. Many things we do not understand, many things we must trust, but you have never failed us nor forsaken us. And you call us to do the same, to never fail nor forsake you. In this prayer, we pray that we will honor you more greatly and love you more deeply and follow you more nearly. We do lift up those who need our prayers and those whose names are written upon our hearts. Pray, dear God, that you will fill them, answer their needs, give them hope and encouragement, just knowing that we are praying for them and knowing that their souls are in the palm of your hands. So God, we thank you for this Sabbath day in which we have come forward. We have answered your call to worship you and to also recognize the sacrificial gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, as we commune in thanksgiving together. God, continue to be with our country, we pray, with all the nations of this world, with all your peoples. And may we be as one for the desire for peace and unity in prayer. Forgive us of our sins, too many to list, too many to remember. But we thank you that you know us so well, that you know we know, and you love us, and you've forgiven us. And you've done so through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship God with our tithes and offerings this morning, again remembering how wonderful it is to be able to use this church as an instrument of God's peace in mission and ministry. Let us be faithful as we pray. Most gracious Lord, we thank you for this gift which is an opportunity to give to you. We pray that our gifts will be given to you with trust and with love and with excitement, knowing that you will take them and use them for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dead of night and
morning, if you brought your Bibles or you care to follow along on the screens, we're going to read from the Word of God as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 26 through 30. May you all be blessed in this hearing reading of God's holy word as we find it in Matthew 26, 26 through 30. And now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had said, given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I shall not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the word of God for the people of God. So, what can I say to you about Holy Communion this morning that you haven't already heard before? But then I have to ask myself, is that really my objective here? I mean, isn't it just enough that we are here together on this Holy Communion Sunday, feeling the comfort that having communion gives, feeling the grace that knowing our sins are forgiven gives, feeling the fellowship from one another and what that is to us and what that gives? I mean, it's tradition, isn't it? It's a familiar place. As far as I can remember, back as a child, I came down to the kneeling rails and came at the invitation of the usher, along with my grandmother that I was sitting next to as my mom and father were in the choir. And we would come down and kneel and receive the little cup and the small paper-thin wafer. And it was good to be there and to receive this. And you could count on it like clockwork every month. As I became a teenager, this experience took on a new perspective. Suddenly I realized that as a teenager, and I was still sitting next to my grandmother where all my friends were up in the balcony, I realized that as I was headed toward college, there wouldn't be too many more communion Sundays that I would have in my home church and that I would have kneeling next to my grandmother. I was growing up and I was growing in my understanding of what Holy Communion is and what that meant as a gift from Jesus Christ. No longer was the service of communion just a time to eat a bite and drink a bit before going home. It no longer was it a snack for lunch. No, Jesus created Holy Communion for you and for me. And he did so really out of the roots of his heritage as a Jew. As a Jew, it was a continuation of the Passover meal. And you remember what that is from the Old Covenant, observing the elements of representing the tears, representing the bitter herbs, meaning the time that they had wandered in the wilderness, been in captivity. That time of the sacrificial lamb slain, all of this agony and the deliverance which was to come. Now, in Matthew's account of the Last Supper, which we just read, incredible truth surfaces. We understand right away that Holy Communion is not an observance, it is not an event. Again, it's a totally different perspective. In the Passover, the Hebrew people were gathered together for what they called a Seder meal. And forgive me if you're already very familiar with this as I go over what those elements are. The Seder meal has each element that's very intentional, representing some portion of the saga of the Israelites going toward the promised land and their deliverance. There's the roasted lamb, again, reminding of the sacrificial lamb, the sacrifice offered. And then there is the dish of bitter herbs, of the bitterness of the people as they were held in captivity, the heartache, the burden. And then there is something called the cherisseth, And it is just a mixture of chopped apples, chopped nuts, a little bit of red wine, and some cinnamon. And it's stirred together, and it's to represent the mortar that the Israelites in slave and bondage had to put together to help build those pyramids. And then another example of what is on the Seder meal is the hard-boiled egg, which represents new life. The bowl of salt water to represent all those years of tears. And then finally, the matzah bread, or the unleavened bread, not having yeast for a couple of reasons. First of all, to have bread with yeast, it has to rise, and then you have to bake it. Well, they were fleeing. They didn't have time for that kind of thing, as well as yeast was seen as unclean. So each of these ingredients was very specific and intentional in their representation of this remembrance of Passover, where the Hebrews were delivered from death and going into the promised land. But the meal that we are about to partake of Holy Communion, that meal has such a different purpose, such a different meaning. Here we have Jesus is control of it all. Jesus is the one behind it all. He has selected the place. He has designated the time. He has prepared the meal. And the disciples are there. And Jesus, in this Last Supper, has tied the garment upon him, has taken the posture of a lowly servant, and has begun to wash the disciples' feet that they might be clean before they receive this Last Supper together. Jesus was the servant in this sense and the host. Jesus isn't there to just sit back and recline and have the disciples serve him like so often they did. You know, he had been out preaching, teaching, healing. He was exhausted, and so quite often they were preparing the meal for the master. But the table truly is reversed. His intent was not to recline and sit back, but to stand and be the one who gives. And this would truly be his last gift, if you think about it. His last gift before the gift of resurrection and the Holy Spirit. This would be his last gift of service and blessing to minister to his disciples whom he loved before he headed toward the cross. Brothers and sisters, Jesus sees his disciples then and now as priceless. There's a quick story I want to share with you. It's about the great artist Michelangelo. Michelangelo, as you would assume, would go shopping from time to time for the perfect piece of marble in which to sculpt. He was at a marble shop one day and kind of surveyed all the pieces and came upon one that he thought was extremely beautiful, but he noticed a flaw. The shopkeeper came over to him and with his honest soul and saw his famous customer and said, "Sir, I see you admiring the beauty of this piece, but I have to tell you it's flawed." Michelangelo said, "I know. I want it anyway. I see an angel in there that must be set free." The angel that would be set free was in Michelangelo taking that piece of marble and taking his time and taking his skill and taking his love and sculpting the great and famous sculpture of David. David, conceited, adulterous, murderous David, reminds us that God sees an angel in all of us, as flawed as we are, to set us free through his forgiveness and his grace, as Michelangelo did in that piece of stone. For God sees each and every one of us as priceless and gave up his son to prove it, and you don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. But today, Jesus loves, Jesus sees, and Jesus forgives. He serves. Jesus, as with his disciples, The Lord's Supper is a gift for you and me. And we're not worthy. And that's why we call it grace. It's really interesting. Over the years of ministry, I've seen some people that will stay away on Communion Sunday, and I notice it. They won't come on Communion Sunday because they don't feel worthy to partake of a meal representing Jesus Christ living up his life in order to give us ours eternally. To forgive us of our sins that we might eternally be with God. Some people don't feel worthy to partake of a symbolic meal for that. And then on the flip side, I see some people that wouldn't miss a Communion Sunday for the world because it's almost like a ticket into heaven for them. And I'm not sure either view is correct. Jesus loves me, this I know, for his willingness to go to the cross tells me so. We're also broken. Everyone in this room is broken in some way, even a child, through disappointment, through fear, addictions, temptations, controlling behaviors. On and on it goes. You know what breaks you up inside, and so does Christ. And this meal is for the brokenhearted and for the brokenbodied. This meal is an invitation. Come and I will give you forgiveness and I will heal you and make you whole. It's called unconditional love. And again, we didn't do a thing to earn it. Jesus values you as priceless. He offers himself up as a way to forgiveness and salvation. And he invites you to his table, and he doesn't ask you to bring a thing. And he's not giving out a dress code in that invitation. And he's not telling you that you have to do anything. Just show up. Just show up. Yesterday, if any of you follow me on Facebook, you'll notice that I had a post about my granddaughter, our granddaughter's birthday. She'll be 3 tomorrow, but we had an early birthday celebration since it was Saturday, and all the extended family and all her little friends from either the ballet class, the Montessori school, or so on and so forth were there, and it was big time. Big time. And I was reminded that there was Lane Austin surrounded by kids running everywhere, and she was playing a little badminton, and she was trying to catch this and do that, and it was trying to fly a kite, and it was just like a conglomeration of a lot of activity, a lot of fun. And that, as I was coming home yesterday, this thought occurred to me, how very much a 3-year-old child's birthday party was like Holy Communion. Her parents, who love her more than life itself and would do anything, even giving up their own life for her, gave sacrifice and love and held a celebration for their child. And that child was overwhelmed by the love and by the things rolling in her mind like you have today. The things that are going through your mind and your heart. The worries and concerns. Maybe the plans you have. And at the end of it all, you may feel weary as you come and rest here at the kneeling rail and say your prayers as you receive your elements of communion. Because I'm telling you, that was one tired 3-year-old yesterday as her Papa T carried her off to the car. but not before I saw and witnessed her going to her friends and saying, thank you for coming to see me. Holy Communion, a celebration given by our loving God, our Father. A time when we bring all of the activities swirling in our minds and our hearts, and we're overwhelmed and we're tired, but I cannot help but think as we kneel before God and have Jesus in our hearts as we bear our sin and confess our flaws, I cannot help but think Jesus is saying, listen to me as I am listening to you. I'm here for you. And in the words of Lane Austin, God's saying, thank you for coming to see me today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We'd invite the congregation now to just prepare their hearts and minds for the sacrament of Holy Communion. In the United Methodist Church, just let me share very quickly that you do not have to be a member of this denomination to receive the elements, and you are more than welcome and invited to come. Also, the bread does represent the body of Jesus Christ. The juice does represent the blood of our Lord shed for our sins. You'll notice that there's a basket here in the middle, and it is for you to give an offering, if you care to our community assistance fund. You'll also notice baskets at either one for you to give your disposable cups to as you leave the rail in prayer. And if you'll let the communion steward know that you care to have a gluten-free wafer, we have those as well. Now let us prepare as we enter into the sacrament of Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks unto God, and broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. And after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks unto God, and gave it to his disciples, and he said, drink ye, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Christ Jesus, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. Amen. Well, those who are going to assist me, please come forward at this time.
Is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Behind your regrets and mistakes, come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus.
So good to be with you in worship today. Before I offer the benediction, though, I invite an SPR representative, Lita Anglin, to come forward and make several announcements.
Okay, SPR has the following report. We are pleased to announce the hiring of Diane Wright as Asbury's new youth director. Diane, yeah. Diane comes to us from Sardis UMC, where she has served as youth director Prior to moving to Sardis, she was youth director at St. Paul UMC in Little Rock. Diane will be joining the Asbury staff on May 13, 2018. SPRC is deeply grateful to our youth parents and volunteers who have carried this program forward in the absence of a director. And it is with regret that we announce the resignation of Kira Chapman, our celebration service praise and worship leader, effective at the end of May. Kira and her family are relocating to another community, and we thank Kira for her service to Asbury and wish her well. Last but not least, SPRC is pleased to announce the reappointment of Pastor Doug Walker and Pastor Mary Hilliard for the next church appointment year, which runs from July 2018 to June 30th, 2019. In addition, Pastor Mary announces her retirement at the end of this next appointment year, effective June 30th, 2019. We greatly appreciate our clergy and are pleased to announce these reappointments. Thank you.
Thank you. We have been fed. We have been fed by the word. We've been fed by the meal. We've been fed with the fellowship and spirit that we get from one another when we worship together. So now let's go forward with full tummies and full hearts and share Jesus Christ with this world. Amen.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea.